Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
The New York Times had a story by June Lee, who will join us here in about 30 seconds. And he wrote this. It's about the changes from our sports viewership and the ability to access sports on regular TV and the incredible additional cost that is going on now in what is called the streaming era. He says, for decades, June wrote this, for decades, our national sports leagues, the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, operated more like civic institutions. These organizations may have always chased the mighty dollar, but they also wanted their sports to last, so they cared about strengthening such powerful intangibles as local pride, generational fandom, and the public ritual. Tradition was good business. Community built loyalty. Loyalty built value. So we're now joined by June Lee, who wrote that paragraph in what is an outstanding article. And I've got your he works for the New York Times, and he has worked for ESPN and other Bleacher Report and the Washington Post in the past. June, thanks for joining us. I really, really, really enjoyed that article, how you broke down how the economics of sports have changed, how the sports fan is the one paying for it. And then at the end of your article, you provided a number of potential government-related solutions. So welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
And tell us what the genesis was for you writing this story.
Yeah, so 2 years ago now, 2.5 years ago, I was a part of the layoffs at ESPN. This was in 2023. And I had an opportunity to kind of step back and figure out what it was like to be a sports fan today and not really have any obligation, as you know, in this business. Like, you sometimes you're always kind of processing things through the lens of, like, how do I talk about this? You know, how do we write about this? How do we cover this? You know, I had just the opportunity to follow my favorite sports teams and be a sports fan. And I noticed that the experience of being a sports fan these days was just continuing to get worse and worse. I think a lot of people who do watch sports have been facing a lot of frustrations about, you know, the rising number of subscriptions that are required to just follow a single team now. And it has gotten worse over the course of the last few years. And so that was kind of my main thrust to write the story. And then, you know, on top of that, I launched a YouTube channel a couple months ago, and I wanted to make a video about, you know, what it was like to be a sports fan today and why the experience of just streaming sports on TV was bad. And that kind of led to a whole other set of thoughts that led me to this op-ed in the New York Times about how, you know, the rising cost of sports today, watching it as a sports fan, whether it's at the stadium or on television, is leading to kind of the cultural decay of America due to the lack of community that kind of results from the paywalls that are preventing people from accessing, you know, games that they used to be able to watch for free and just be able to follow much easier.
Well, here's another paragraph from your op-ed piece. It said, I subscribe to nearly every service where there is live sports, YouTube TV, MLB TV, NBA League Pass, NFL Sunday Ticket, Peacock, Apple TV Plus, Max, Amazon Prime, Paramount for $2,634 a year. But to watch the Boston Red Sox, that's your favorite team, play the New York Yankees earlier this month, I would have had to fork over an additional $19.99 a month for some obscure baseball-focused service that has that slice of one of the most iconic rivalries in American national pastime. So let me, you sound like a much younger guy than I am. But I remember the days back when boxing went to all this pay-per-view. Boxing used to be the number one. People always had the Saturday night fights, the Friday night fights, like in the 50s and the 60s. And then they all went and started doing pay-per-view, pay-per-view, pay-per-view. And boxing basically died away. Is it possible that if sports continues down this road, that that could happen to them as well?
I mean, I think that's the big concern. I don't think that we're at that tipping point moment yet, but this is the type of thing that adds up over the course of time, because ultimately, you know, the way that people watch media, their favorite TV shows, their favorite movies, it's all small habits that are built over the course of years and years and years that set that foundation for when a kid becomes an adult, what they're going to do for the rest of their lives. And I think that the thing that scares me the most, I'm 30 years old now. You know, I grew up in kind of the heart of this transition from the cable era to the streaming era. I have this kind of habit built up of watching sports on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, even with how difficult it is in giving my profession as a sports writer, I'll go out of my way to watch sports. What really worries me is the younger people today, the high schoolers, the middle schoolers, the prime time for a lot of people to become sports fans. They're not building the habits in the same way, because sports used to be almost a passive thing you could do. You just turn on the TV, the channel guide was there, and you know, here's something to throw on the television. But now we have all these other entertainment options, whether it's YouTube or you know, Snapchat or TikTok or Instagram. And that's a much easier passive habit to build over the course of many years. And at the same time, the habit that you need to develop in order to watch sports is much more active. You have to go out of your way to figure out what channel a game is on and then turn on that game, or, you know, ask a parent for a subscription to a streaming service. There's just way more steps now that I think have become barriers to people being able to watch sports. And this is across, you know, all financial demographics and people of different backgrounds as well.
Well, you know, back in the day when I was a kid in the 1960s, the Twins would have 50 of their games on out of their 162, and 45 of them would be road games, because the home games, the idea was, if you put the games on TV, no one will come to the games. And then it was turned around when the Chicago Cubs and Atlanta Braves said, we're going to show all of our games, and we're going to show them on a cable network where people around the country can see it. And the miracle was those teams became very popular, and the tickets for those games became much more in demand than is the case when you don't have TV. Last year, the Twins were in some sort of a dispute with their streaming service or the cable, and their games were not on TV for how long was it, Dave? Maybe 2 months, a month and a half, something like that. And I just stopped watching, and I kind of fell out of the habit of watching the Twins. So I'm guessing if the major league sports can't fix this, what can maybe the governmental entities do to try to encourage them to keep their product available for the people that are going to then buy the tickets to go to their games?
Well, I think you make a great point about Minnesota in particular is kind of at the heart of this kind of shift that's happening, because it's not about the big market teams necessarily. Like, I'm a Red Sox fan. It's a relatively big market in the scheme of baseball. But for Minnesota fans, you know, that's a market that demands, you know, expects the team to be competitive on a year-to-year basis. There's not this reputation like the Pittsburgh Pirates, where they don't expect the team to win at all at this point with the ownership. So you're in a market where in Minnesota, you know, the fan base expects the team to win. They need the organization to spend money in order to win. At the same time, the regional sports network model is collapsing, and the revenue that's coming in from that is not nearly the same as it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And so these teams are in this position where, you know, they're trying to figure out, how do we have enough cash to be able to, you know, afford players and be competitive in the open market? At the same time, a lot of these small market owners, these billionaires, you know, don't want to over leverage themselves by going to the bank and asking for, you know, massive loans off of franchise valuations, you know, that are continuing to go up because of this undersold, in my eyes, play for global growth across sports. And it's the reason why the Dodgers, you know, owner recently bought the Lakers for a valuation of $10 billion, why Fenway Sports Group, you know, is basically a sports ownership conglomerate. There's this massive push across all the sports leagues to grow internationally. And a market like the Twins, you know, they're in a position where they want to win to be able to help push that. At the same time, they don't necessarily have the same cash that the Dodgers or the Yankees do. And at the same time, on the flip side, The opposite end of the spectrum is you see an organization like the Oakland A's, who basically just bottomed out to be able to move to a bigger market than in Oakland, or in Pittsburgh, where Bob Nutting doesn't spend any money on the rosters, mm-hmm. but is able to be one of the most profitable owners in the sport on a year-to-year basis because he's riding off of the money that he gets from revenue sharing across the leagues, and he's able to maximize the profit because he doesn't win. And so I find the Minnesota situation so fascinating because they're kind of the exact model of a team that, where the financial system of sports is now completely broken. I think there's a requirement if you want these like smaller market communities to continue to be invested in sports in the same way that they were in the past, there needs to be some level of intervention.
An old sports writer in town here, Patrick Royce, always said one of these days when the Twins are slated to play the Yankees on over 4th of July weekend, they should just say, nah, we're not showing up. And see what happens. That they have to realize they're a team. Now, one of the things you put in here that I think is so right, there's a lot of ways that the federal government or state governments could put some pressure on these teams, because we just got done talking about how the Timberwolves, new owners, already are talking about they want a new building, and they're going to want some public funding for that. And you also talk about the antitrust exemption that baseball's had forever, that they could pull that. In other words, the governmental entities in our country have leverage over these leagues where they could. Say, if you're going to take our money and use our antitrust exemption, you've got to treat your fans more fairly.
Yeah, and I think that there needs to be a revision to the Sports Broadcasting Act of the 1960s, which has given these leagues a massive antitrust exemption to be able to package these league rights deals to market them to streaming platforms now and TV broadcast networks. You know, when that act was created in the 1960s, there wasn't Netflix or Amazon or even cable. And so the environment in which that law is now being applied by these leagues, and I would say taken advantage of, is a direct result of the landscape completely shifting. I mean, sports went to a whole new level from a business perspective during the rise of television. It became much more of an entertainment product versus just something that people followed in the newspapers, on the radio, and going to games. And we're now hitting a new level of that because of Netflix and Amazon and YouTube, having these global internet infrastructures that allow sports to be streamed globally. And as a result of that, these leagues are taking advantage of the antitrust exemption to be able to maximize as much money as possible to squeeze out of all of that. And this is tied into the gambling situation as well, where I think there's a level of reliance on the middle class America who has kind of extra money to spend on sports gambling to be able to boost up the ratings for these games. They're relying on these fans who have the extra money to squeeze as much money out of them as possible.
We are talking to June Lee, who wrote an op-ed piece in the New York Times recently, and you came up with the number that how much it costs to be a sports fan annually, and the number you came up with was $4,785. We've already talked about the $2,600 that you had to spend to have full streaming rights to watch all the sports. And I'm assuming the other $2,100 comes from attending games in person, where you wrote, going to the game is similarly becoming out of reach. From 1999 to 2020, the average price of a seat across all sports rose roughly twice as fast as overall consumer prices. It increased 19.5% between May 2023 and May 2025 alone, the biggest jump of any category tracked by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So not only is it more expensive to watch them on TV, where before it was maybe even free in a lot of cases, the tickets are more expensive as well.
Yes, and then on top of that, too, it's the cost of just having internet. Internet is such a necessity now. You know, 20 years ago, you didn't need internet to be a sports fan. It was like a nice thing to have, but now you need internet to be able to watch all those games. And so it's also the cost of merchandise. Fanatics has basically become a monopoly in the sports merchandising business, and the cost of jerseys have gone up while the quality of those jerseys have gone down. And so this is kind of an industry-wide shift that I think is not just happening in sports, but it's happening across the country in so many different areas of our lives now.
June, thanks for joining us. Much appreciated. And I recommend go out and find June Lee's piece. It's really fascinating. Thanks again, June.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks again. You know, it is. You're wondering when the sports bubble, Dave, is going to burst. It hasn't yet. But this is possible that this could break it. I think it could. I think it could break it by forcing people to go to all these streaming services, look, I can't have every streaming service. I'm not, you know, it's really difficult.
It is very difficult, especially if you have a family and you have those considerations. And my situation, I don't have any of them. We were cable cutters a few years ago, because we realized we just didn't have the time. You know, you're doing bedtime with kids and, you know, all the activities, and all of a sudden, you know, it's 9 o'clock before I could even think of, you know, turning on a Twins game perhaps, and then the game's almost over anyway. So it's, you know, but the one thing the sports leagues have going for them, they've got a good product and they've got still a country that is obsessed.
Obsessed. Absolutely. When we come back, it's that time of year when the Supreme Court comes out with its final decisions on the most important cases. I'm going to go over a couple and I'm going to predict.
Ooh.
How they do.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Korzenowski in for Hartman. We're getting towards the end, but... some of you may know I'm a lawyer, although the fact that I'm a lawyer doesn't mean that I'm an expert on all these issues that the Supreme Court is dealing with. I'm certainly not. But I thought we'd go over a couple of these cases, and I'm going to make a prediction. Now, the decisions are likely to come out tomorrow. In fact, I think they have to come out, I think, before the end of June. I think that's by law. So what they usually do is they trickle out all through the year, all through the term. And then at the end, all the big ones come. So they save the big ones for the end. So let's see what some of these major ones are. The first one is birthright citizenship. The citizenship clause of the 14th Amendment states all persons born or naturalized in the United States, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, to me, if you ever read the Constitution, it is not very clear and it is not very well drafted. It is always says, do you know what active voice is versus passive voice? Active voice is subject verb, object. Passive voices, no subject, did something. I was punched in the face. Okay, I was punched in the face. You don't know who punched me in the face. You don't know why it punched me in the face. And it is a lot of that is the way that the Constitution is written. But this one seems pretty clear to me, with the exception that it says, why wouldn't it just say all persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States? What does it mean when they say, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof? No clue. So they throw it in there. We don't know what it is. So now when this has not been an issue forever, but Donald Trump, a bid to scrap the birthright citizenship. So he basically said, hey, we're going to scrap it. Just because you're born here doesn't make you a citizen. He did that. So what happened was some federal courts in Maryland, Massachusetts, and Washington, the judges said, hey, that's unconstitutional. If you're born here, the 14th Amendment is clear. You're born here, and we're now going to enjoin you. Stop this order from taking place. And those injunctions are impacted across the nation. So one federal court in Maryland can stop this from being active in the rest of the nation. And so the issue here is, and the reason Trump, the DOJ is, or the executive branch is suing, Trump administration is asking the Supreme Court to restrict the application of a district court's injunction solely to the parties who brought the case and the district and wherein that judge resides. This is an issue that's never come up before. My prediction is, because the court's very conservative, it will overturn the lower courts and limit federal district courts to their geographical boundaries, which will mean that if you want to stop Trump's edict that birthright citizenship no longer takes place, you would have to get a court in your state to rule that way. And I think that's bad, but we'll see. Next one, porn site age verification. The case is Free Speech Coalition versus Paxton. The case involved a challenge to Texas House Bill 1181, which imposed new standards on commercial pornographic websites. The law required these sites to verify the age of their visitors and display health warnings about the effects of consuming pornography. The plaintiffs, which included an adult industry trade association, several corporations involved in the production and distribution of pornography, and an individual adult content creator, challenged the constitutionality of the law. The U.S. District Court for the Western District of Texas, again, granted a preliminary injunction, which would apply all over the country, and concluding that the law likely violated plaintiffs, meaning the porn manufacturers, First Amendment rights, and was preempted by Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act. Don't know what that is. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit, however, vacated the injunction against the age verification requirement, holding that the requirement was rationally related to a government's legitimate interest. My prediction here is they will affirm that and say that it is a and say that they can ask them to that they can force the porn industry to make opt-outs to do it. So I think that's one. Finally, the students and LGBTQ themed content. This religious rights case examines whether parents have the right to pull their children from public school classes when books containing LGBTQ related content are read or discussed. The schools in a Maryland county had offered parents the chance to opt out of classes featuring books aimed at combating prejudice and discussing gender identity and homosexuality, but later retracted the option. So they gave these students, said, hey, we're going to be offended by this. We want to opt out of going to this class. And then they rescinded that option to do that. So now the students have to sit in there and take it. According to this article, court precedent has generally established that exposing students to ideas contrary to religion does not constitute coercion. Prediction? I think the opt-outs go back in. This is right down the conservative freeway, right? You do not have to be, you can't be exposed to DEI and all this stuff in a school. So I think that they will throw it out. Do we have time for one more?
Quick. Yeah, sure.
This is a tough one. This is Planned Parenthood funding. South Carolina's Republican governor, Henry McMaster, issued an executive order in 2018 cutting off reimbursements to the two Planned Parenthood clinics in the state for services the Reproductive Health Organization provided to low-income Americans under the government Medicaid program. The Medicaid reimbursements were not for abortion-related services, but McMaster, the governor, said providing any funding to Planned Parenthood amounts to taxpayer, quote, subsidy of abortion. So they can use Medicaid to do non-abortion-related functions, but they're still saying they should be able to ban it because it's funding the organization that provides First Amendment rights. I actually think the opt-outs will go back in. I believe this is a tough one, but I think Planned Parenthood will prevail. As long as the money is being spent on non-abortion related services, I believe that that one will prevail. I'm not confident because that goes a little against the conservative court, but I certainly think that's the case. So coming up next, we'll speak with tree expert Tom Prosser about the spread of emerald ash borer in Minnesota.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Korzenowski and for Hartman, joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline is a longtime friend of mine and the best tree expert I know. Tom, good afternoon. Well, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, good afternoon, Scott.
Now, first of all, just before we get into the ash borer, the emerald ash borer, tell everybody how you got started in the tree business back when you were at the University of Minnesota with me.
Well, the elm trees were dying in my neighborhood. And I watched a giant elm tree get removed across the street from my parents' house, and I was wondering if there was something that could be done to save the other trees. And I started doing some research and found that there was some things that you could do with injections. And back in those days, it didn't really work, but there was more research and more work done. And after starting in about 1980, there was a very effective process for Dutch elm disease. And that's really how I got going, injecting American elm trees throughout Minneapolis, St. Paul, many of the golf courses, many, many sites, and actually Rainbow Tree Care, which I no longer am the owner of. It's now owned by the employees, still treats about 7,000 of those elm trees. So, but now since then, we've gotten into many other treatments and diseases and problems and so forth.
Now the next disease that came about was emerald ash borer. And the reason I wanted to talk to you about it today is there's an article in the paper that says emerald ash borer was first seen in Minnesota back in 2009. Since then, it has spread to 58 counties in the state. The Minnesota DNR says it was recently found for the first time in Meeker, Murray, Ottertail, yeah, and Wadena counties along the new areas of Carlton County, and then it's been found in every county in Wisconsin. So what, if anything, is can be done about that?
Not much. I mean, Minnesota has nearly 1 billion ash trees. You know, up in the northern part of the state, there's a lot of wetlands, and these are there's a species of ash called the black ash, and it's most of the trees up there. It's really going to be devastating, but there's really nothing you can do. And this insect multiplies very, very fast. It's a beetle. It's not very big. It's maybe half an inch, size of a penny, across. But it does incredible damage. One of them will come and lay 100 eggs on the tree. The larva burrow into the tree and eat the cambium and the xylem and the phloem and basically kill the tree. But what's really astounding about this insect is how it multiplies. So if one insect flies into an area, which is really how it spreads, it typically lays 100 eggs. Half are male, half are female, some die. So we pretty much estimate that the number of insects will grow 40 times every year. And if you do the math on that, it doesn't take long. It takes about 5 years, you'll have 100 million insects. And in about 9 years, you'll have a trillion. And we call that, this insect's been spreading all across the United States, killing millions and hundreds of millions, billions of ash trees. And so it comes in, it reached the Twin Cities in 2009, and Minnesota has probably done a better job of containing this insect than most other states, as it typically takes, after you find this insect, it's been around there for 3 to 4 years, it takes another maybe 6 or 7 years typically for all the trees to be dead. In the case of the Twin Cities, it's taken like 16 years since they found it for all the trees to be dead. This year, if your tree's not treated, it's dead in the Twin Cities. But, in terms of up north, there's just so many of them, there's really nothing you can really do.
Well, if you said treated, so there's some way you can treat if your tree is infected with the ash borer?
If it's infected, it's almost usually always too late. It's pretty rare. I know we've saved some trees that are minor infections or infestation, but typically once it's got it, the symptoms are quite a ways behind the actual damage. So it's difficult to save a tree that's already got it. But I know Rainbow has treated somewhere in the neighborhood of 75,000 to 80,000 ash trees that are also living. And there's been a lot of other companies also treating. So there's actually quite a few ash trees out there still that are alive, but every single one of them, if it's in the Twin Cities, has had to have been treated to actually still be alive.
Wow, that's you said that there's how many ash trees in Minnesota?
Estimated? Minnesota has more ash trees than any other state. Maine, I think, is a close second. We have nearly 1 billion ash trees. Most of them, like, are up, like you said, Meeker County and Cass County is up there. That's where they are. And so you're going to see these huge woods of trees dying off. And there's really not much of a type of tree to replace them that I know of. Maybe there is, but I just don't know about it, but not that I know of. And so it's going to be very devastating. It's not the only invasive insect or disease that's in the U.S., there's at least 11 different invasive insects killing massive amounts of trees in the U.S. I mean, we're all familiar with Dutch elm disease, but there's quite a few others. It's really devastating.
What is when you said there's however many trees there are ash trees, is that the most common tree in Minnesota, or are there others that are more?
Well, it's not the most common anymore, but it probably was. But I don't really know, so I can't really say that as a fact. But it's one of the more common trees, yeah.
Well, Tom, it's good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us and educating us as well. And you and I got to get together when you get back in the Twin Cities.
That sounds good, Scott. All right, good to talk to you.
Tom Prosser, founder of Rainbow Tree Service and the ash borer problem, which has been around since 2009. I got to be honest with you. I don't even know what an ash tree looks like. I got a tree in my yard, a pretty big tree, and it looks pretty sick. So I may have to go home and check it out when I get back. But this just reminded me of it because you're too young, but the Dutch elm disease was there used to be most of the, a lot of the city roads, the elm tree, you always look at it because it goes up and it spreads out. Like it goes up and it spreads out kind of like that. And it would, so the, a lot of cities would pan them along the boulevard and was almost like a canopy came over because it goes from up and then it spreads out on top like a, kind of, like a Y.
Just it looks a few, like a few feet up the trunk.
It, it looks like a Y.
Yeah.
And they used to have these trees just lining the boulevards. And then all of a sudden, they'd all be gone,
yeah.
You know, because they couldn't. And so Tom was out there treating the trees. I kind of got a kick out. He said, they really didn't work so good when I started. But but that started Tom on a, quite a journey. And they do a lot of stuff. They'll have these. They go and spray trees that are like near power lines that slows the growth of the trees down so they don't have to like cut them. And so municipalities can save millions of dollars and it doesn't hurt the tree. So he does a lot of crazy stuff like that. When we come back, my highway to hell. It's time for the Lindus Time Check. Time to get impact-resistant GAF asphalt shingles and receive 50% off installation labor through June 30th. Your WCCO time is 2:52. Okay, my highway to hell. I think you and I were talking during the break.
Let's go.
It's the same one.
Mm-hmm.
Highway 36. Okay, under the normal circumstances, it's hell. Under the current circumstances, it's really hell. And under what's going to happen, it's going to get worse. Let me read you this. St. Paul motorists, consider this your warning. The Minnesota Department of Transportation will repair 9 bridges over Interstate 94 and 35E in St. Paul this summer, causing closures during weekend traffic. Construction will begin this weekend with an eastbound closure of I-94. The interstate will be shut down from Highway 280 to I-35E between 10 p.m. on Friday, June 27th, and 5 a.m. on Monday, June 30th. Motorists, of course, can take North Highway 280, can take North Highway 280 to East Highway 36 to South I-35W to return to I-94. That means on top of the other traffic that we've been experiencing on 36 because of the what's going on 94 toward Minneapolis, where that's down to 2 lanes. And now they're going to be repairing the bridges. Now, they'll only be on the weekend. But already, if I'm on Highway 36, because I have to come take Highway 36 into downtown, and that's brutal unless you go at like 6 in the morning. And it's even worse going the other way when you go back where the 3 lanes go to 2 lanes, and meanwhile, Fairview's coming in, and meanwhile, Snelling's coming in. And like you said, it will stay slow until you get to Rice Street going east.
Yes, I don't understand it. I realize those other streets are funneling some traffic in, but come on, let's go 36. Be better. Why is it slow for all those miles? I mean, it speeds up before you get to 35E, yes, where traffic, I would think, there'd be more cars coming in higher speeds.
I live just a little bit past that intersection at 35E. That is a smooth intersection.
Yes.
There's no problem there because there's an extra lane. People seem to know what they're doing. It is. But I'll tell you what, I always put my phone and the Google map when I'm driving. Because I don't trust myself where I'm going, and I want to know where we're going. I'll always have the Google map on. But I'm telling you what, when I'm on, I will go out of my way and take more time by taking a side road just to not be on 36. It's not a time element that bothers me. It is a stress element because the lanes are coming in and cars are honking and you got like 4 lanes going and I'm just stressed out.
You're taking care of your mental health.
I don't need it. I do not need a Highway 36. So is Jason in here?
He's popped up over there.
All right, what's your highway to hell, Mr. DeRusha?
394, where it turns into downtown Minneapolis.
That is, are you one of the guys that scoots in right at the end?
Yes, of course. Yeah, how else should you do it?
Like, that's exactly how you should do it.
Because it is an absolute disaster.
It is.
And I mean, Highway 36, is there construction going on?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Right, so, by Fairview. It looks like they're making it wider, maybe, but probably not.
Your complaint is about progress. My complaint is about no progress. There is no work. There's no redesign. There's no solution. If you are interested in going from the West Metro into downtown Minneapolis or St. Paul, good luck.
Yeah, I'll tell you
no solution.
Another thing, 'cause when I come to downtown, that when you go from 36 onto 35W South,
yeah,
and it does that big loop by St. Anthony, that thing just slows down. And then you're trying to, if you got to get off on Washington Avenue, you got to go across like 6 lanes. I mean, it's pretty brutal.
Do you think they built the highways here thinking that no one would really want to live here? that like it's cold, it's kind of a crappy place to be. Let's just make these cute little roads. It'll be fine.
Yes. No. For instance, you know, 94 West, why have an exit that goes directly onto 35W North? Maybe we could just have everyone get off at Cedar and drive through the neighborhood if they want to get on 35 North.
Who would want to do that?
I think they forgot.
They
go, oh, man, we didn't have the exit going to 35. Nobody's going west on 94 and then north on 35W. They would just take 35E. I think they forgot.
But my family comes to town from Chicago, and they're like, well, there's so dang many highways around here. Like, where they live, everybody just takes City Street. So they're like, I don't know.
All right. Are we? When are we out?
We got 20 seconds.
Jason, what do you got coming up?
Oh, it's my responsibility to fill the last Omar Fateh. We're talking progressive politics. Is there something from New York?
Yes.
That applies here. We'll have one of the most progressive mayoral candidate on the show.
Great.
4:30.
Thank you.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.